Perek Chavav of the Tanya, chapter 26. Now for the next, let's say, seven chapters of the Tanya, he deals with the importance of being happy. Mishenichnas Adar, we begin Adar Marbim B'Simcha, we increase our happiness, but it also could mean Marbim. We increase all of our activity, B'Simcha, by virtue of happiness, by virtue of joy. We merit to increase our activities. That gives us the strength to do more and more. So let's begin chapter 26. Bram. However, Kagon da tzarech lo doi klal gadol. We need to inform you. I need to inform you. The Tanya teaches of an important principle, the cardinal principle. Kekamoshen itzachon lenatzeach davar gashmi. Just as in a physical battle, to conquer something physical, like two people who are wrestling with each other. Each one wants to knock the other one over. There's a wrestling match. If one of the wrestlers is lazy, and he's heavy, he doesn't move around quickly, the one who runs around and is energetic will easily defeat the one who might be physically bigger, but he's slow and less energetic and less active. The yipol, he will fall. Even if he is physically more mighty than his friend. Kacha mamish, exactly this way. Benitzachon ha-yetzer, in defeating the urge to do evil, in defeating our animal self. Yefshar lenatzcho ba'atzlus ukvedus. We can't defeat the animal if we're lazy, if we're slow. Now, what causes laziness? What causes a person to be slothful? Hanimshachos me'atzvus. This comes from depression. This is something that we've seen earlier in the Tanya. The Tanya is of the opinion that depression is characterized by lack of activity. Not wanting to do anything. Not wanting to wake up in the morning, not wanting to go to work, not wanting to achieve, not being willing to engage, not being active. That comes from depression. And so if a person knows that to defeat the evil urge, I need to be very active, that means I can't be depressed at all. Can't have any room for depression. Sometimes the heart has no feeling, it's like a stone, because it's depressed. But I need to overcome that. So what do I need to be always? Kiyam bizrizus. I need to be a person who's energetic, filled with passion. Hanim sheches misimcha. That comes from joy. Upticha salev, from an open heart. V'taharaso, the heart has to be pure. Mikol nidnud, from any scintilla, from any bit of daga, of worry. The etzev, or sadness, ba'olam in the world. To be able to defeat the evil urge, we need to realize we need to get rid of depression. No depression at all. We have to be someone who is optimistic and hopeful and joyous and passionate and active, and no sadness at all in the world. So now the Tanya asks a question. What about the verse? The verse says in Mishlei and Proverbs, B'chol etzev yihye motar. Now the simple reading of that verse is, in every sadness there is an advantage. There's a gain to being sad. There's something to be achieved in being sad. So one second, he just said we should never be sad at all. We should always be happy and joyous and dancing. So he said, you have to read the verse carefully. It says, through sadness there is an advantage. Not saying sadness is the advantage. There is a benefit to sadness, but it's a side benefit. Sounds like there's some advantage. But that's not the way to read it. Hine adaraba, the opposite. Sadness intrinsically, depression on its own, there's nothing good about it. Rather, yagia v'yavu mimenu eza yitaron. From it, yihye motar. There will be something good from it. There will be some positive from the sadness. But the sadness itself isn't good. What's the positive? V'haynu hasimcha ha'amitis. The true joy. V'ashem elokav in celebrating the connection to God our Lord. Haba achar ha'etzev ha'amiti, that comes after true sadness. There's a sadness leads to a deep happiness. So it's okay because it leads to happiness. But the goal is the happiness. And there's only certain times to be sad. Le'itim mizumanim, set times. Alavonosa. And the only thing to be sad about is sins. Sometimes we should be sad about our sins. B'mar nafsho, person should be bitter. Lev nishbar, and have a broken heart. Shal yidei zeh, through having a broken heart, nishbara ruach hatumah, the force of impurity, the sitra achra, the forces of evil, they also break. After all, there's a machitza shel barzel. There can be an iron curtain between man and his Father in heaven. Hamafseket beino la'avinu shebashamayim kol shemavur bazar. And that iron curtain breaks when my heart is broken. Pasuk, that's what the Zohar says on the verse, Ruach nishbara, a broken spirit, Lev nishbar v'nidke lokim lo sivze, a heart that's broken and beaten down, God will never push away. V'az, and then yikuyim be'resha dekra. Then you'll get to the beginning of the Pasuk, Tashmieni sason v'simcha, let me hear joy and celebration. Hashiva li sason yishecha, return to me the celebration of your salvation, the ruach nediva sismacheni, and the spirit of great gifts should support me. These sentences are from chapter 51 in Tehillim. Chapter 51 in Tehillim is the chapter that David recited when he was confronted with his great sin. In the book of Shmuel, we read that there was a woman some way connected to Uriah the Chiti. David saw this woman. He was the king. He took her. She was really connected to some other man. He had relations with her. And then he called her husband back. Her husband was at war. He called her husband Uriah back, and he said to Uriah, now you go sleep with her to cover up the fact that I had been with her. And Uriah refused. So David then arranged to get Uriah killed. After Uriah was killed, the prophet Natan Navi comes to David. And Natan doesn't directly confront David right away. But Natan tells David, David, I have a story of what happened in your kingdom. There was a very wealthy man, and he had flocks of sheep and cattle. He had whatever he needed. And next door to him, there was a man who was very poor, whose only possession was a little sheep. That's all he had. And all he had was that sheep. He treasured that sheep. He would sleep with that sheep. He would, you know, pull from that sheep its wool and make a little couple of pennies and maybe get some milk from the sheep. That was all he had. And then a guest comes to the rich man, and the rich man decides, why should I go use my cows or sheep? There's that little sheep next door. And he went and he stole the sheep from the poor man. And he slaughtered it and he served it to his guests. And now the poor man was left with nothing. So David gets so angry. He says, well, that man deserves to die. He's so insensitive. He's so cruel. And then the prophet Natan says, you are that rich man. Here you have, you're the king, you have all this power, you have many wives, you have much wealth. And there was Uriah, your neighbor, all he had was his little, he had one relationship, he had that relationship with Bathsheba, and you took her. David gets very upset. He says to God, Chatasi, I sinned. And then we have in Tehillim this chapter, where David cries. What do we find in this chapter? An amazing thing. David says, Lev nishba, ruach nishbara, lev nishbar v'nitke lokim lo sivze. God, you won't turn away a broken heart. My heart is broken. You won't turn me away. And then what do you have in the pasuk? Tashmieni sason v'simcha. Let me hear again of joy and celebration. Hashiva li sason yeshecha. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Ruach Nediva, the Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of knowing what God wants. Let me have it again. Ruach Nediva Sismacheni. So, one second, David's crying in one sentence, and the next sentence he's asking to be a prophet, the heights of joy. But the answer is yes. Because basically David is always a big optimist. He's always very happy. He knows there's a moment to be sad. So he's sad for that moment. He's brokenhearted. But he knows after that brokenheartedness, now back to the happiness. Now back to tremendous joy. And David is asking for the best of the best. He's asking for prophecy, for Ruach HaKodesh. Because a Jew has to live, it's the Tanya is teaching us, with tremendous joy and tremendous attachment to Hashem and tremendous optimism and hope. And yes, there's sadness, but only at certain times. He's going to teach us that the time for sadness is Yom Kippur. The time for sadness is Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Chodesh. But otherwise, there's no time for sadness. Otherwise, just to be upbeat. And the sadness leads to being upbeat. Yeah, question.
So, just to take a step back to the what you were saying about depression. So I believe at this class we've talked about the commandment of God that you shouldn't covet your neighbor's things. And also that in the Shema it says that you're supposed to love Hashem. And so we talked about how is it possible that Hashem could command various kinds of emotions. So this is sort of the flip side of it. It's one thing is sadness, but another thing is depression. And so there are people who are depressed because they have chemical imbalances, and it's not a choice. It's not that they're choosing to be sad. They're depressed. And so it seems like the Tanya is saying, you can't be depressed, or you shouldn't be depressed. So how do you reconcile those two things? It's not a choice.
So I think he would say that, number one, if a person wants to be happy, that can help a person. Not a guarantee, but it can help. And another, a couple of, you know, very powerful lessons to deal with the challenge of depression is that forcing oneself to be active. Depression is characterized by not wanting to get up and do anything. When a person forces himself to go out and to do and to accomplish, that also helps a person a great deal. But you're right, there are some times that there are illnesses, and all illnesses, you have to go to a doctor and get the medical support. Sometimes a chemical imbalance can be rectified with other things, but sometimes a person can overcome it without the chemical intervention. And for that, the Tanya is saying we have to want to be happy, and we have to know that the Torah calls on us to always be happy. And to believe that Hashem loves us. Hashem loves us with a tremendous love. And when we're aware that He loves us with a great love, it's like David HaMelech, He wants to take us back. And since He wants to take us back, we just have to repent, and then He's going to take us back. And again, we're going to be flying. Ruach Nediva Tismacheni. V'zeh tam ha'pashut, says the Tanya, this is the simple reason. The Tikkun HaAriza, Lomar Mizmor, Zeh Achar Tikkun Chatzos, Kodem HaLimud. The Ari made a practice that we should say chapter 51 of Tehillim before we study after midnight. Ari wanted everybody to wake up at midnight to say chapters of Tehillim for the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, and then to say chapter 51, and then to learn. Why? K'dei lilmud b'simcha mitis b'Hashem. To learn with a great joy, Haba Achar Ha'etzah, which we get to after a deep sadness. Sheyesh l'simcha zu yitaron. There's a certain greatness and an advantage to joy after sadness. Ki yitron ha'or haba min ha'choshech dafka. Just like you appreciate light more when you exited darkness. If I'm in darkness and then I see light, wow, what a gift. So if I have real sadness and then I have joy, I feel the joy much deeper. The joy is much, much more pleasurable. Moshe Kassav HaZohar on the Pasuk of the Zohar says, V'ra'isi sheyesh yisro l'achaf min ha'sichos. I saw there is an advantage to wisdom that comes out of foolishness. Ki yisro na'or min ha'choshech. Like light that comes out of darkness. Ayin Sham. There's actually a verse talking about the importance of joy. It's in Parshat Ki Tavo, where Moshe says that all the curses of Ki Tavo will come. Tachat asher lo avadata Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tzuv levav. Because you didn't serve God with joy. Everyone knows what the Ari says. What the Pasuk means is, your service of God didn't give you more joy than the joy of having every physical desire you could want. That's what serving Hashem should do for us. We have the privilege to serve Hashem. V'ine, and behold, Eitza Yutza. Here is good advice. Letayer libo mikol etzev enidnu da'agam imili da'alma. To clean out your heart from any worry or sadness or depression from physical matters. Afilu bani, even to worry about children. Chayi, to worry about health. Umezoni, or to worry about livelihood. Mudas zos lakol. Everyone should know this. Ma'amar Azal, as our sages say, the end of tractate brachos. Kishem shemavarech ala tova, kach mavarech ala ra. Halacha requires that the same way we bless God for good news, we should bless God for misfortune. Pirshu b'Gemara. The Gemara says, what do you mean bless God for misfortune? L'kibulei b'simcha. We should accept the misfortune with joy. K'mo simcha satova anigles v'nires. The same way we have joy about good things that we see and they are revealed how they are good. K'gam zulatova. Really, anything that happens is for the best. It's for the good. Baksheina nigles v'nires l'enei basar. Just not seen to human eyes how it's good. Kihi me alma diskasya, for it's the good of the hidden world, shalamala me alma diskalya, which is higher than the revealed world. Shehu vavhe, the revealed world is only the letters vav and he mishem avaya baruchu, from God's name yudhe vavhe. Vaalma diskasya, but the hidden world, hu yudhe, is the letters yud and he of God's name. That's where it says, Ashrei Agever Asher Tiasrenu Ka. Fortune is the man who gets afflicted by God, but the name of God used is the first two letters, Yud Hey, because the affliction comes from the world that's hidden. That's what our sages say. Ki Asmechem B'Yisurim, those who are happy with a suffering. Aleim HaKasav Omer, about them the verse says, V'Oav, of those who love God, like the sun comes out in all of its might. The joy is from feeling His love. Kirvas Hashem, being close to Hashem. Yoter mikol chay olam hazeh, more than all the life of this world. It says, ki tov chaz d'chamei chayim, better your kindness than life. The kirvas Hashem, yibiyetus osu maila and kates. And the closest to God is beyond understanding. In the hidden world, kisham chevyon uzo, for there his strength is hidden. Yoshev b'seiser elyon, the one above sits in that which is hidden. So the Tanya here says that a difficult idea. It's hard for us to feel this, but he felt this. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, at the end of his life, he stopped teaching Torah. Instead, he related parables. He just related parables. So one of his last parables, this was a lengthy story, very allegorical story, was the story of the seven beggars. Nachman has a whole lengthy parable of two orphans that get lost in a forest, and then they get married off, and each day of the Sheva Brachos, a beggar shows up. And each of the beggars seems to have a deformity. One can't see, one doesn't have hands, one can't walk. But what's revealed in the story is that it's not that they don't have a deformity. In this world, it's a deformity because they have such great powers of sight that they can't see in this world. They have such great powers of hands that the hands don't work in this world. They have such great abilities of walking that the legs don't work in this world. For example, if you look at the sun, you couldn't see anything. Not because it's dark, because there's so much light you can't see. Sometimes there's so much good that we can't appreciate that it's good. But it's really good. Says the Tanya, God created our world that we're in, the revealed world, but He also created a hidden world. spiritual worlds that we don't see. All the worlds that God created are all hinted in the name of creation, Shem Havayah, the name of existence, Yud Hey Vav Hey. The first two letters, Yud and Hey, they were the letters that God used to create the hidden worlds, the worlds that are above. The last two letters, Vav Hey, were the letters used to create this world, the revealed world. That's why the verse says, Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu, that which is hidden is to God our Lord, V'hanigloos, and that which is revealed, Lanu Levanenu Ad Olam, is for us and for our children forever. V'hanigloos, the revealed, begins with the letters Vav Hey. Vav Hey Nigloos. Vav Hey is what created the revealed world. The revealed world is represented by the Vav Hey. Says the Tanya, an amazing thing. When a person has an unfortunate event occur, a misfortune, it's not really a misfortune. In this world, it's a misfortune. But in a higher world, it was a blessing. The blessing is so high that in this world, I can't absorb it as a blessing. But really, it is. In its real essence, it's a blessing. So when we feel that everything is really a blessing, sometimes it's a blessing in the revealed world, but sometimes it's even better. It's a blessing in the hidden world. In the hidden world, it was a blessing. And I'm getting closer to Hashem in the hidden world through this blessing. So that gives a person tremendous joy. And we saw that in our history, right, there were sages. This is the way they lived. The famous stories of the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva used to say, Kol ma David Rachmana, l'tav avid. Whatever God did, it's not just good. It's the best. Gemara relates a famous story with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was once in a forest, and he was making his way through the forest. All he had with him was a donkey, a rooster, and a candle. He got to a town, and he asked to be hosted, and no one was willing to host him. He said, whatever God does is for the best. He went out into the forest, and a wind came and blew out the candle. Then a lion came and ate the donkey. Then a tiger came and ate the rooster. And each time he said, whatever God does is for the best. The next morning, he went back to the town, and the whole town was destroyed because the Romans had come, and they had ransacked the whole town and killed people and burned the houses. He said, thank God, no one wanted to host me. And thank God the candle went out because that way the Romans didn't see me in the forest. And thank God the rooster was killed because that way the Romans didn't hear the rooster crowing. And thank God the donkey was killed. They didn't hear the donkey crowing. Because Rabbi Akiva, when it happened, when the tragedy happened, he wasn't welcomed. He lost the rooster. He lost the donkey. He said, okay, that's in the revealed world. But in the hidden world, it's an amazing gift. It's a tremendous gift. I'm thankful for this gift. He merited it. Hashem showed him how even in the revealed world, it became a revealed gift. The Gemara says in the end of Masechet Makos, that Rabbi Gamliel was walking with the Sage, Rabbi Akiva was walking with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, and they were walking on Har HaTzofim, and they saw coming out of the Kodesh HaKodashim a fox. And all the sages start to cry, and Rabbi Akiva starts to laugh. And they say to Rabbi Akiva, how are you laughing? He said, well, why are you crying? He said, we're crying because here is the holiest of holies. Even the Kohen Gadol can only enter the holiest of holies on Yom Kippur, and even then in a state of purity. And now a fox is walking out of the holiest of holies. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing, because the Navi Yeshaya, the prophet Isaiah, links the prophecy of Zechariah with the prophecy of Uriah. Zechariah said, Jerusalem will be filled with old men and old women and children playing in the streets. And Uriah said that there will be foxes walking in the holiest of holies. So why did the prophet put these two prophets together? Because once you see the prophecy of Uriah, you know that the prophecy of Zechariah is also going to come true. If the prophecy of Uriah came true that there are foxes on the holiest of holies, we know that there are going to be children playing in the streets of Jerusalem. You know, you can go today to Jerusalem, you can go to Har HaTzofim, where this story occurred, and there is a project to sift dust from the Temple Mount. Because the Arabs, during the Second Intifada, they decided that they were going to build the Middle East's largest mosque. underneath the Temple Mount in an area called Solomon's Stables. So they took out hundreds of trucks worth of dirt and antiquities, the big stuff they kept for themselves. What they thought was trash, they took it all out and they dumped it in somewhere in Yudan Shomron. So there was a professor who went to the Israeli government of Sharon. He said, you know, we want to look through these stuff to see if there are things in the Beis HaMikdash. He said, no, the Arabs will be upset. Anyway, it took a lot of lobbying. They brought all of that dirt today to Har HaTzofim, and you can go and you can sift through the dirt. You can water it down, and you'll find they found a tremendous amount of bones in that dirt. Bones of calves, goats, sheep, all the types of animals that are supposed to be korbanos, and bones of foxes. They found bones of foxes, because that's this Gemara, that there were foxes on the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you can go today, you can see bones of foxes there from Har Abayis, and then you can go to the Old City. You can see children playing and elderly men and women sitting together. And you see what Rabbi Akiva said, that if we see the foxes coming out, we know that the prophecy of Zechariah is going to come true. Rabbi Akiva, he was this idea that whatever Hashem does is absolutely for the best. And that's what the Gemara says. Even though we don't see how it's for the best, it's difficult, children, with livelihood, with health, really it's for the best in the hidden world. We don't see it, that's why we don't appreciate it. It's in the hidden world. But it's really for the best. We're getting closer to Hashem. And that can give us a tremendous joy. Maybe that's why in the Haggadah we read that the sages, Rabbi Elazar, Ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yoshua, they all came to Bnei Brak, and they had a Seder with Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. So why did they go to have a Seder with Rabbi Akiva? After all, if you look in the Gemara, the Aruch HaShulchan asks, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar himself is of the opinion in Masechet Sukkah that on Yom Tov, a person has to stay with his family. And here, Rabbi Yoshua goes to be with Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. Rabbi Yoshua lived in Netzivan. He didn't live in Bnei Brak. So why did he go to Bnei Brak? Maybe this is the very point, the times of that occurrence where the period of the Hadrianic persecutions, when the Bar Kokhba revolt was put down, when the Jews were being tormented, when the Asara Harugei Malchus, the 10 sages, were killed. So all the sages wanted to be around Rabbi Akiva to get from Rabbi Akiva's optimism, to get from his hope, to get from his joy, to learn from him this perspective that Kol Ma David Rachman Alatav, whatever God does, is for the best. And there's a mitzvah to accept even what seems to be a misfortune and to realize it looks to us to be a misfortune, but in a hidden way, it's really a tremendous blessing. Says the Tanya, maybe that's what the Gemara means, that if a person accepts everything as a blessing, Zocha Letzeis HaShemesh B'Gvuraso, he merits that the sun comes out for him in all of its power. Lasad Lavo in the future, she Yitzias Chamim Minartika, the sun will be unleashed of its cover. She mechusa b'olam hazeh. In this world, the sun is covered. Ula'asid titgala mikisuya. That which was hidden will be revealed. Danush az yiskala alma deskasya. In the future, the hidden world will be revealed to us. The yizrach v'yayir begilui rav v'atzom. It'll illuminate with a tremendous light. L'cholachosim bo. To all who have trust in him. B'olam hazeh in this world. U'mistofim b'tzilo. Those who find shelter in God's shade. Tzelach achman. The shade of God's enormous wisdom. Shubuchinas tzel v'lo ora. When there's a shade from God, it doesn't seem to be good. It seems to be shade. It seems to be bad. But still, I know it's for the good. That creates joy. Let's say a person's not sad about money, children, or health. He's sad because he did a sin. Even then. Got to get rid of it. Certainly when it's time to do something good. Because when you have to do something good, we need energy. And if we're sad, we have no energy. To have energy, we need to be happy. We need to serve a God with joy, with the best of heart. Even a person who has a business, and he's getting depressed during his business work from the sins that he did, realize this is all a plot of the evil urge. Kedei la'apilo achar kach betzayvos chas v'shalom. Why does the evil urge want us to be sad? Because if I'm sad, I feel, you know, I need to indulge. So then I start indulging all sorts of urges because I need to feel good about myself. So it's all a plot. She loved King, because otherwise, if it wasn't to try to get me to sin, Ma'ayin ba'alo atzus amitis. Why, when I'm in the middle of my store and I'm working, would I get depressed? Machmas avas Hashem u'yirasa be'emtza asakav. Suddenly, I'm in the middle of business, I have to worry about my sins. It's only because it's to get us to sin. If I'm trying to pray or I'm trying to study and then I get sad, or if I get sad when I'm not trying to serve God, I have to remember the following rule. Now's not the time to be sad. There's a time when I'm allowed to be sad. Erev Rosh Chodesh. Yesterday. Today already, it's Rosh Chodesh. Can't be sad. I feel the Dagas of Onus Chamurus. A person could do the worst sin in the world, can't worry about it anymore. Because now it's not the time to be sad. We have no permission to be sad now. Rak the Zosar Kvias Itim. Is it time to be sad? The Shah Sakosha Beisha Vadas. Is it time to sit and to think? This Bonim Begdulas Hashem, to think about how great God is, Asher Chatalo, and I sinned against him. At that moment, my heart will break. There's another place where I tell you when this time is. There I'll also explain. Even at the time when you're supposed to be sad to break the desire for sin, in those times, you have to then take away the sadness entirely. And believe with complete faith. Ki Hashem hevir chataso. God forgave me. V'rav l'sloach. God wants to forgive me. V'zoya simcha amitis. That's the real joy. Haba achara etzev kanal. That comes after the real sadness. So the Tanya teaches us in this chapter that we have to be people of tremendous joy. What an amazing thing. It's chapter 26. Why chapter 26? Because 26 in Gematria is Yud Hei Vav Hei, the name of Hashem, of Chesed, of Racham. The name of Hashem of Elohim is the name of justice. But this is chapter 26. We have to look at the world and always see Rachamim, Hashem Hu Elohim. Even when it seems to be justice, really, it's Hashem. Really, it's mercy. The mercy may not be revealed in the hidden world, but it's really all tremendous mercy. And this is what Purim is all about. Adar, or Chodesh Adar. This is the time, Adar is from the word Aderet. It's a cloak. God is hidden in the month of Adar. But Mishenichnas Adar, when the hidden month comes, Marbim Besimcha, we increase our joy. We say, no, God is close. God is here. We believe that everything that's happening is for the best. Everything is amazing. I heard many times from my teacher of Wolfson, that it's, you look at the Megillah, it's amazing. The Gemara says, the Megillah begins with, Vayehi b'yamei Achashverosh. It was in the days of Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? That's the Achashverosh who ruled from Hodu to Kush. So it's repetitive. It could have just said, Vayehi b'yamei Achashverosh, Amalek, Hodu v'ad Kush. It was in the days of Achashverosh who ruled from Hodu to Kush. So the Gemara answers, the Talmud explains, Vayehi is from the words, Vay and Hai. Whoa, oh! Vayehi, whoa, oh, it's the days of Achashverosh. Why does everybody say whoa with oh? So the Gemara says the name Achashverosh is from the word Ach V'rush. Rush is poor. People say blow, whoa, I've become poor. Because Achashverosh loved to make taxes. He made huge taxes. So the moment you begin with Achashverosh, you hear the name, oh my gosh, everybody's holding their heads, oh my, the taxes, terrible, I'm becoming poor from these taxes. So how does the Megillah end? The very last psukim of the Megillah, Vayasem HaMelech Achashverosh Mas, Al Haaretz V'yeh Ayam. The king Achashverosh put a tax on the land and on all the islands and the sea. Why do we need to hear that he put a tax? The answer is because the word Megillah is from the word Galgal, a circle. The Megillah begins with Achashverosh's taxes to pay for his party. It ends with Achashverosh putting on another tax because it's a circle that keeps happening in every generation. In every generation, there's another Megillah Esther being written. It starts with another Achashverosh. Maybe in our generation, the Achashverosh's name is Ruhani. Maybe it's Obama. There's an Achashverosh. There's another Achashverosh, and there's another Esther. Maybe it's Netanyahu who's going to come on Tanis Esther to make an appeal on Tanis Esther to plead for the Jewish people. There's another Achashverosh. There's another Ruhani, and the Megillah is being written. But in each generation, Hashem is saving us. In every generation, that's what we sing. Teshuah sama Yisrael Netzach. God, you were their salvation forever. Purim is forever. Purim reminds us that in every generation, there's another challenge, there's another Megillah that's being written. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through this Megillah, is saving the Jewish people. We can just imagine, this is what the Chiddush HaRim said, that when the Megillah started, and Achashverosh makes a huge party for 180 days, 6 months of drinking. And after 180 days of drinking, he has another week of drinking. He's drunk. He says, I want my wife to come out undressed. And she refuses to come. And then he goes and kills her. So somebody must have run into the local yeshiva and said, Rabbi, did you hear what went on in the palace? And the rabbi said, what? Don't talk about such things. This isn't clean stuff. But meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was writing Megillas Esther. What people thought was terrible things, that's Hashem writing a whole story how to save the Jewish people. That's in every generation. That creates the Simcha of Purim in the time of the Adaret, when it's closed. Adar, Marvin B'Simcha, we increase our joy, we have trust that everything comes from Hashem for the absolute best. There are only a few times to be sad, but overall we should be happy and upbeat and filled with faith. And Bezrat Hashem, now, seven atzliach will succeed and overcome all the challenges that face us. Amen. Amen.